Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 104 with Jeffrey Bradbury. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Jeff Bradbury, we explore a number of interesting topics like how being a tech coach is like being a conductor, how building a platform adds value to your local school community, what ed camps are, why we need more CTE classes, and the beauty of Beethoven's Ninth. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show's sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose mission is to support people in education and nonprofit organizations to improve processes and enhance the performance of their organizations. Learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's given it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. And now for his bio. Well, Jeff Bradbury, author of Kid Blog, an intro to blogging with your students, the creator of TeacherCast.net, TeacherCast University, and Educational Podcasting Today. He's an ASCD Emergent Leader, Google Certified Teacher, Google Ed Trainer, PBS Learning Media Digital Innovator, and a whole bunch more stuff that you can read on the website. He's currently the coordinator for tech integration at the Westwood Regional School District in New Jersey. In 2012, he was recognized as a top 50 educator using social media at the first ever BAMI Awards and has been nominated three times in the category of Innovator of the Year. In both 2015 and 2016, Jeff was globally recognized as a top influencer in edtech and e-learning by Onalytica. Jeff's keynoted for the Pearson Authentic Learning Conference, EdTech New Jersey, and most recently at Columbia University's Teacher College and Podcast Mid-Atlantic. Jeff, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. This is going to be fun.
So Jeff, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Well, growing up, I was always musical. And when you're looking at colleges, you really have two different options. You have music education and music performance. And I kind of always gravitated towards those band teachers or orchestra teachers in my case. So, you know, that started off the undergrad in music education and, you know, got my teaching degree. That was back in 2001 is when I graduated and, you know, been teaching ever since. I've taught K-12 and now I'm having a good time in a completely different career as a tech integration specialist.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, what's the story there in terms of making that switch?
I love it. I wrote a blog post recently of how being a tech coach is very much like being a conductor and how every different, you know, K-5 works much like the string section and your middle school and high school work very much like your wind and band section. And there's a lot of things that's just really has honestly made it be a seamless transition. And I can't say it's an easy switch. I certainly make my mistakes every day, but we're always here learning from each other and I have a great time with it. And I hope my teachers that I work with say the same thing.
I think I see that coming out on, that came out last January. Does that sound right? We can link it up for the listeners in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's been a few weeks. I've never written anything that's gotten so many genuine comments.
Wow.
So I'm really, really proud of that. And I think I'll be expanding on that topic or maybe, you know, going in a similar direction because, you know, I've been writing now for 6 years, but when you're starting to write about your own experiences, it's totally different than the traditional, you know, here's my top 10 Chrome extensions kind of blog posts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I see a bunch of comments on that post. What do you think it was that people were really resonating with?
You know, I think it was just the whole idea of, and many of the comments kind of got me. It's, wow, I've never seen it from this point of view. And oh, this really makes sense. And, you know, tech coaching is still new. And we really don't have a curriculum. We kind of all make our own, but we're all similar. So if you line up 10 tech coaches, you're going to get 12 different ideas. And if you line up 10 superintendents, you're going to get 15 different ideas of what a tech coach is. And that makes it easy because essentially you do what you need to. Every school district's different. But at the same time, it makes it harder because I can't go to my friends and say, what are you doing? Because what's working in their school district doesn't necessarily work in another. So, and that's the same thing with conducting. I could ask three conductors, how would they conduct a Beethoven symphony? They're each give me the right answer, and it'll be completely different based off of whatever orchestra they're at.
All right. You know, you're a content creation machine, and people often ask me, you know, how do you balance being a principal and do the show? And I just produce a show. You've got so much going on. How do you find the time to create all this content?
You know what? I never want to say it's not enough, and I never want to say it's too much, but I like to pick a topic and I run with it. Again, much like a conductor in any one concert, you're doing a Beethoven and a Mozart and maybe some chamber music and something different. And when you're looking at teacher cast in any given week, I can be putting out a few blog posts, three or four podcasts, maybe a screencast, and oh, I'm doing this online course. It keeps me busy because there's a lot of work that goes into it. But at the same time, I'm also doing this for the love of it. And I'm doing this because I want you, the teacher, to learn from it. So, you know, I'm not on any deadlines. And some things that I put out might take literally 10 minutes and it just kind of pops into my head and pops out. I've been very, you know, spontaneous sometimes with some of my most successful posts. And then there's things that you spend weeks and weeks and weeks on, and after a month you see that they have 100 hits. So, you know, there is no rhyme or reason to things some days. And I love creating content that people resonate with. And, you know, I always get asked about numbers, like how many downloads do you have and what's your subscriber rate? And I think all that's kind of hogwash. My answer to that is and I've said this a lot on shows, if I can reach one teacher, that's 30 students. And if I can reach one principal, that's 500 students.
Right.
And if I can reach one superintendent, that's 5,000 students. So sometimes it's not about the numbers, but the numbers are always bigger than you see on paper because you never know how many people you're actually affecting by. Again, my top 10 favorite Chrome extensions could actually be something that a superintendent goes, yep, I want that on all of my teachers' websites.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the thing is if you focus too much on the numbers, right, how many Twitter followers you have or whatever, you're kind of missing the point. You're getting away for you were just talking a few minutes ago about doing it because you love it, right?
Right.
And if you start wanting to quantify everything, I think you're soon going to be off topic and not producing that real contribution that you have for this world because your focus has gotten off.
I think it's just a matter of what gets you happy. TeacherCast, yes, it's a place for teachers to help other teachers. That's always been the vision. I've tried to change that vision, and teachers have actually said, no, like, stop. That is who you are. Keep with that. I could also tell you that TeacherCast is 100% self-serving. When I need to learn STEM education to help out my teachers, guess what we do on the podcast? We do STEM education.
Exactly.
And so, yes, it is 100% a place for others to come and learn, and I welcome that. And it's a place for others to come and write. And I have a very healthy guest blog. I think I'm up to over 85 guest bloggers at this point.
Nice.
But at the same time, it is just like everybody's blog, it is a place where I learn. And so I figured if I can learn something from it, hey, maybe you guys can too. And you know, you can kind of look at all the posts and see where my interests were. If it's a STEM area or a Microsoft area or a Google Sites area, you can kind of see where my career has gone. And I think that's the same for anybody out there who blogs or creates content. You can kind of see what's been interesting them.
That's a neat point. And the exact same reason Better Leaders really got created, because I wanted to have these conversations and really do it for myself in a very self-serving way, but I knew others would resonate with the conversation too.
And so, absolutely.
Yeah. People and benefit.
Right. And that's why you podcast, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, yes, you know, we're in the same boat here. There are people that I'd like to interview, and you use the podcast to your advantage, right? On the other hand, there's people out there that say, I would really love to learn about STEM education. And I say, hey, I have a show for that. Or, hey, that's a great idea. Can you come on this show and talk to so-and-so because I have them as a contact and I'll put you two together. So, you know, I love being able to be the conduit between the classroom and innovation. And again, it's going back to being the conductor. Nobody comes to listen to the conductor because your conductor is the only person on stage that doesn't make any sound. But the conductor is the conduit between the musicians and the composer. And the conductor has to take what the composer, dead or alive, has written down and make the musicians find that nice balance to make the composer's life come back, to, you know, work come to life. Same thing as a podcaster, same thing as a teacher, right? When we talk about George Washington, he can't be there to defend himself. So we need to be the advocate for George Washington or Beethoven or STEM education when it comes to our students, our teachers, or our audience.
A lot of my guests don't necessarily have platforms like you've built. I'm curious, how has that enriched what you add to your school community as a tech coach?
I wouldn't be a tech coach without it. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to bring all of these experiences to my teachers. And I think with anything, and I talk to a lot of people in our situation, in our, you know, in our stable here, for lack of a term, you know, how do you have this big network and how does it resonate with your staff? And for many people, they say, well, it's hard to bring your outside life into your inside life, right? You're never a hero in your own house, right?
Yep.
You can listen to any famous sports person, rock star, you know, Bon Jovi, right? I'm a big Bon Jovi fan. His kids just look at him as dad. So it's an interesting question and it's an interesting topic, but I try to help out my teachers without saying things like, oh, yes, that's a friend of mine, or, oh, I just did a show with this company, or, you know, anything to that respect. I just say, hey, look, here's a great thing. And a lot of times what ends up happening is I'll make two copies of things. So I'll make the teacher cast post that says, you know, last week on the show, I had so and so on. And then there's the version I give to my teachers, which is, here's this tool. Here's how you use it. Black and white, basically go here, fetch. And that's a little bit different work, but I don't want to be the one that walks into school saying, I have contacts. Like you don't want to be that guy sometimes, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah. So it's knowing your audience, right?
Right. And there's people at school and you know, it's like when you're walking into an ed camp, right? There's people at school who know you as Jeff, and there's people that you walk into school and they know you as Teacher Cast or this other persona that you have, right? You know, I'm always Jeff. No matter what I am, no matter where I am, and no matter what kind of stage I'm on, you know, in my office, I have the poster from my TED Talk, but I never talk about it because that's just not what you do. And that's okay.
And that's okay. You're right. Jeff, how would you describe your leadership style and how'd you develop it?
Developing. You know, I want to say that I'm a learner in all of that stuff. You know, I like to say lead by example. You know, you and I are a member of a Voxer group with podcasters. And I don't know everything. I'm always the first to reach out to the group and say, I could use some help with, or how do you do this? I try not to be the look what I just did, or look who I have, or, you know, like, and we all want to do that. We all want to be proud of ourselves. But I think for me, it's get up early, stay the latest, and work really hard. I don't really know how to answer that question. Am I a leader? Sure. What am I leading? I don't know. Depends on the day, depends on the medium. I know there's people that look up to you as a podcaster and say, wow, how do I do that? There's people that look up to you as a teacher and go, hey, how do I do that? And at the same time, we all sit there and go, what am I doing and who do I get help from? So it's an interesting question that I, you know, when I quickly read through some of the topics today, that was the one that I'm like, how do I explain that? It's hard to. I had a fantastic day at school. I also can tell you I probably failed more times than I succeeded. Mm-hmm. And even when I did succeed, I knew there was many failures in the middle of all of that stuff. And you get back up and you try again, knowing that some people pick up on the good stuff and some people don't pick up on the good stuff. And some people pick up on the bad stuff and some people don't pick up on the bad stuff. So
sure.
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't really have a complete answer for that other than a little bit of rambling there.
No, that's all good. What would you want to change from the day?
You know, sometimes you are given a task and you follow it because you're told to do something. Whether you know better or not, this is what you're told to do. And sometimes you know that if you go off to the left or to the right, you might have a better product. But when the person that tells you to do something is close by, you kind of do what you're told to do, right? So I don't know how to answer that question other than maybe fight ahead of time for what I know is correct.
And you mentioned it was a fantastic day. I guess, is there something that needs to happen to make a fantastic day, or why was today fantastic?
I made 30 kindergartners have a great experience today, and I saw 30 kindergartners smile and laugh and giggle, and you can't beat a day like that.
Oh, no, you can't. You know, I most of my experience, all middle school and high school. However, when I was getting my first master's degree, I worked with early childhood education, and I got to explore the pre-K and kindergarten world. And like you said, shoot, if you can make 30 kindergartners smile, that could keep me going for a few months, I feel like.
Absolutely. If you can make 30 kindergartners all do anything at the same time, you're good. But it's fun, you know. School gives me the opportunity to be myself, because in any day I could be in kindergarten, in the superintendent's office, and in middle school, all within a 4-hour period, and I get to experience literally every single type of psychology and learning style and direction and really it's a, you know, being a tech coach is like a box of chocolates.
Love it. What would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
You know, the biggest thing about being a conductor is overdoing it. And again, you're the only one on stage that doesn't make any sound. So when the people come up to you and they say, the orchestra sounds great, you really do say, or you really are supposed to say, thank you, my musicians did a good job. You never are supposed to say, thanks, I did a wonderful job, didn't I? And you can, you know, I'm sure you have some stories about that in a leadership or a principal role, where when you walk down the hallways and you see the direct results of stuff you've worked on with kids or teachers, that's, you get that internal feeling, right? Like I had something to do with that. And it might be you walked into a class and worked on a project with a kid, or you had a conversation with a teacher, and then 3 months later you see something in that conversation show up on the wall, right? And, you know, there's ways to make your superiors know that you had to do something with that, and then there's ways that you shouldn't be doing that. And I think the easiest way I can answer your question is, sometimes when you're new, you want everybody to know that you had something to do with it, because after all, that is your job and that is your role. So much like a conductor, I'll go back, nobody has to listen to the conductor. They can play however they want. And a teacher doesn't ever have to listen to a tech coach. They've been teaching forever. They're going to teach forever, with or without you. So how do you show off your worth? And I think we all have to learn those experiences as we grow through the process. A tech coach is really a 4-year position just to get your feet into an entire district. It's not a 6 months and suddenly you have the hang of it. It really is a relationship game. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes you have 400 relationships to forge. And that changes every minute.
Yeah, it definitely takes time too, but it sounds like you're doing an incredible job. You know, leadership's a relationship game, and tech coaching and all that. I mean, life, that's really what life is about. So do you have any tips for our listeners and what you do to build strong relationships?
Ask questions. Again, you know, today I did a meeting, faculty meeting, where I did what I would consider to be an EdCamp presentation, right? Interesting thing. You can't do an EdCamp presentation at a faculty meeting.
Right.
Different rules apply. Different people apply, right? Different philosophies apply. You can do an EdCamp session where it's 21 Chrome extensions and here they all are in a slide. Now you take them and go run. In a faculty meeting, you can't really do 3 Chrome extensions. It just doesn't work sometimes. And always ask questions. How, you know, you never want to be the "Hi, how am I doing" guy. But I think it's important, especially when you're learning to work with the faculty, and every building is different, every grade level is different. So you've got boxes of chocolates inside of boxes of chocolates, I guess. But you know, the thing is, always ask questions, because if you don't, then you're not receptive.
You know,
and right. So you know, have those strong relations with teachers. That they always suggest get your core group of friends around you. And then, you know, they're going to be the ones that hear what's going on rather than you to your face. And then also have your core group of administrators that you can count on and rely on. Because ultimately, you know, you are the mentee to everybody. And you need to understand all that. It's no different than being a teacher to 30 students. And then you get to your high school and now you're a teacher to 190 students. You know, every day is a new day. And it's always best to come in and start with, hi, how are you doing? Rather than, hi, here's a Google Doc.
I think a lot of my listeners, Jeff, have probably participated or heard about Ed Camps, but there's probably a good portion that have no idea what that is. Can you give us a synopsis of what Ed Camps are and, you know, how they benefit school communities?
An Ed Camp, by definition, is a free professional unconference. And what I mean by an unconference is we're used to signing up for a event and you know who the keynote speaker is, you know what the sessions are ahead of time. An unconference, you don't have anything. You don't have keynotes, you don't even have a session board. The sessions actually get created on the spot from the people there. And I think that they're best even when they're not on the board. I often say that the best Ed Camp sessions are the ones that happen sporadically in the hallway. And so recently I went to an Ed Camp in Southwest Connecticut and I put on two sessions. You know, they're not presentations. It's not, I have to prepare. It's not, here's my PowerPoint. It's in essence, an Ed Camp really is, let's sit down and have a conversation. And, you know, most Ed Camp purists will tell you that if you go to a session and somebody whips out their Google slides or their PowerPoints, get up and walk out because you're not there for a lecture. You're there to interact. So I did two sessions where we had a good conversation. The first one I led and I gave a little presentation on Google Sites and, you know, I showed off how to use it, and that was fantastic. And then the second one, I basically threw out a topic and said, I'm not going to talk the rest of this time. And I gave a little intro, and 3 minutes later, I put my head down and I put work together, and the room, which was about 40 or 50 people, just took the conversation and ran with it. And then about a minute before it was over, I poked my head up and said, and thank you, goodbye. And that was one of the best sessions that they had. And then after that, I was in the hallway with three teachers and we just talked for 45 minutes. All three of those scenarios are Ed Camp. It is a spur of the moment conversation, literally just like this podcast.
Love it. Yeah. That's a fantastic description. Thank you for taking a few moments and describing that for the listeners. Jeff, I'm really obsessed with how people prepare for their day. And I'm just curious if you have some type of morning ritual and what your first hour of the day looks like.
Sure. I wake up every morning and I wake up one baby and then I wake up another baby and then I wake up another baby. And I do this wonderful thing where I hand them off to my wife and then I walk out the door. And, you know, again, I run K-12. Yeah. I run six buildings. I have 450 staff members. It's not really K-12. It's K-superintendent. Mm. And so any given, you know, I sometimes start my day just by thinking to myself, where do I want to learn today? And I have teachers that will just say, come on in and you're welcome to be a part of the class. And if I walk in, they'll say, you know, go grab a Chromebook and let's learn, show us something, right? Like that's really today how the kindergarten thing went. I walked into the room and next thing I know, spur of the moment, we were making Google Slides and we were creating animal facts for an open house coming up. Mm. And that wasn't planned. And I love it. As a conductor, you know, you have an idea. You're going to rehearse this piece, then this piece, then this piece. But you certainly don't plan which direction your hands go. And you don't plan out which direction your eyes go. And you don't really plan out when you're going to stop and correct the violin section. So I guess I'm going to keep going back to the fact that there's so many similarities between these two. You can't really prepare for things sometimes. Now, again, last week, I did six grade level meetings for all K to five. So six grade level meetings. Those were planned out. Those were lesson planned. Those were, you know, 2.5 hour marathon ordeals. I did them twice a day. So every day is different. Every week is different. I can't say enough. I have such a fun time because everything is completely different. You have to know everything. And I would not be able to do this literally without TeacherCast and without the network and without being able to say, oh, I have a teacher that wants to learn Scratch. Well, I talked to my buddy Sam today and I said, we need to do a show on Scratch 101 because I need to learn how to teach my teacher this. And he says, absolutely. So tomorrow night, we're doing the Scratch show.
Very good. And going back to that music expertise and experience you have, I'm just curious, are you familiar with Ben Zander? Are you a fan?
Oh, absolutely. No, his TED Talk is, I listened to his TED Talk several times when I was preparing for mine. I love the concepts that he talks about. It's a little late in the day right now, so I can't come up with any good Ben Zander quotes, but I absolutely love his energy. And yeah. I've never gotten a chance to see him conduct live, but no, I love what the guy does.
Yeah, he's amazing. So definitely we'll link up his TED Talk, your TED Talk in the show notes. I read his book, The Art of Possibility, and he has those, you know, those ideas of giving everybody an A is so powerful.
Yep.
And I love to retell the story, rule number 6. But that kind of stuff is like, I don't know, really mindset shifting. And it challenged me to be such a better human being. I can't, you know, describe how profound his work has been in my life.
There's reasons for that, right? You know, and you can't conduct Beethoven without somehow being Beethoven. You can't be a K-5 principal without being at least K-5, like, right? And we always say this, right? Like, you know, middle school teachers are really middle schoolers, just a little bit taller, right? Like, it's a special breed to be a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
I love what I do because at any given time, I can be a kindergartner or a 12th grader, or I can be sitting in a board meeting conference room, you know, pitching a wonderful idea that's going to affect an entire community and school district. I just love that I could be Mahler or Mozart. I love it.
Can you think of a class that should be taught in our schools that's not currently taught, that you know of?
Auto mechanic.
Why is that?
Look at where we are, right? We could say computers, we can say typing, and all that stuff is true, right? We have gotten away from, let's go to computer class and you learn from a computer teacher, right? We at some point we said, well, you know, we don't need to go to a computer room because computers are now in our classrooms, which is now computers are in our pockets. So let's get rid of that teacher. And now we're in the let's go to STEM and we have a STEM teacher. And eventually, and I was talking about this the other day with Dan Rizek on our when we did a Tinker show, you know, eventually STEM is not going to be a place you go. It's going to be like a bunch of little bits that are in your desk and you're just going to be making things because making is going to be part of our vernacular. Well, I totally have no idea how to fix my car, but neither do you because you were never taught in school because they didn't have auto shop. And we totally don't have plumbers that are being taught in high school. I mean, some places you do. Let's be honest here. But I really have this need to have more CTE in schools. And I don't mean, you know, we're going to get on a bus and we're going to leave and we're going to go to a computer technical educational place. No. That stuff's got to be in the whole deal. I'm also a big fan of Mike Rowe, and I love Dirty Jobs. And I completely buy into what he's talking about, which is, you know, we need to have those people. We don't, we have an abundant number of jobs that cannot be filled right now. And so if we're sitting here looking about how do we hire people and how do we get people in the right jobs, we have more people that want qualified people that can't get qualified people than we do have people that need jobs right now. I think I said that right. So
this sounds right.
It's right. Like there's more open jobs than there are people that want jobs.
Right.
We just don't have people that are qualified for those jobs.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, who are strategic thought partners, the leaders of public sector organizations. They also ideate, build, and maintain easy-to-understand data tools using the latest analytics technology. You can learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. What's the worst leadership advice you've ever been given?
What's the worst leadership advice? Wow. I don't know. You know, oftentimes I'll go to a mentor type person and the response is, don't worry about that. And I think when you say don't worry about that, maybe that comes to me as don't reflect upon it or put it aside and don't worry about it. And I think we need to spend, at least I know, I need to spend more time, at least in this part of my career, of reflecting on everything because, you know, I'm the new person. They've been doing this forever, or they're in a position where they've been doing this forever. I need the reflection on what just happened, and I need the why. And that's not a good learning tool when somebody says, don't worry about it. Because my first reaction, of course, is, well, why don't I worry about it? I just, you know, just got a glowing, wonderful glowing observation report. But there was something in there. And I showed it to a few people and they're like, dude, don't worry about it. And of course, my response is, well, then why is that in there?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, just don't worry about it. And I guess that's where I am. We're still new and we always want to impress. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think the worst thing we can say is don't reflect on it.
Yeah, I think that's really important because of the power of reflection and what it teaches you. And Jeff, I'm curious, is there anything that you do that systematizes reflecting every day? Or how do you build that time into your schedule or your work week?
I'm very big and good at multitasking. And just, again, this goes back to the music thing, but I'll put on a podcast. I won't listen to it. But just because I have monotonous talking on, I'll be thinking about things. I used to drive 75 miles to get to work where I used to work, which is fantastic. Right. Like that's a long distance, right? But that's just enough time to listen to the entire Beethoven Ninth Symphony.
Oh, wow.
And a little bit of background on Beethoven Nine. It starts off literally with the musical version of a sunrise. And you know, it's a new day. Things are happening. And then you have the last movement, which is, you know, all men should be brothers and let's hold hands and kumbaya and the whole deal. But in the middle, you have all this turmoil and emotions and stuff go on. So I used to do Beethoven 9 religiously in the car on the way up or back. And that was my way of literally going through the entire cycle of emotions. And then you go, okay, I'm ready to be home now or I'm ready to start my day because literally you can't not listen to an entire Beethoven 9 and not. Of course, you know, you're blasting it and you're singing it in the car and the full German's going on, right? Like I'm one of those guys. But it's you can't go through an entire emotion and then get out of the car and go, okay, it's all behind me. Because nobody wants to bring your family life to work and nobody wants to bring your work life to your family. So having a nice drive where you could just kind of let it go, I think is one of those best little things that I miss doing that. My drive right now is only 40 minutes. So sometimes it's hard to find that perfect thing where you're not sitting in the car for the last 10 minutes of something like, you know, blasting it while you're sitting in the driveway.
I think I'd like to be a fly in your dashboard, you know, watching you enjoy Beethoven's Ninth on that 75-mile drive for sure.
I'm an Italian conductor, so that just tells you that the arms are never on the steering wheel.
Oh boy. Yeah, that sounds good. Besides Beethoven's Ninth, is there any other classical piece of music you'd like people to turn to?
Wow, you're good at this. The Fifth, right? It's, you know, my two favorites are the Fifth and the Sixth, which is interesting because they were actually written with the Sixth one was written first before the Fifth. But literally, again, you know, in one breath, it takes you through the raw emotions of life. Mm. And everybody knows the beginning of Beethoven 5, but what you don't see is the second and the third movement turning into the fourth movement. And it goes literally from, sorry about the nerd stuff here, but it goes from the C minor dark thunderstorm thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends in this beautiful C major triad that just pops right up to the heavens. And when you get to that and you know, you've only got 6 minutes to get home and you're cranking with it. You know, I've conducted them all and fantastic stuff.
Now, I appreciate you sharing the insights into those, you know, the Ninth and the Fifth Symphony. And that brings back fond memories of my father who has passed. But we used to have, you know, a record player. And one of the ways we enjoyed spending time together was just laying down in front of the record player and listening to a bunch of classical type music. So that, you know, is also, like you said, you know, the podcast self-serving, and I'm just curious what you would recommend. And You know, I think I'll listen to some of that after we hang up on the call, you know?
It's all great stuff. And again, it's you're doing that person's vision. You know, you're the principal, but you're doing the vision of the community, right? You didn't write the curriculum. You don't own the curriculum. You're doing the curriculum that the community wants. And at the end, it's not, hey, you did a great job. It's, hey, my teachers are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, again, there's just so many similarities between what we do in education and what we can do on a podium.
Yeah. I know you have this humble way about you, but how would you like to be remembered as an educator?
He was a great dad.
What do you think makes a great dad?
Great educator. No, I don't know. I don't know if I ever want to have an answer for that, because if I did, then I'll have a goal, right? Like, you never want to know how the book ends. And so I don't know, just because I think if I had the answer, then that'll be it. You know, like if I said to you, give me the topic that I can make a podcast on that'll suddenly get 5 million hits tomorrow, or what's the topic that gives me the most bang on the next screencast that I do. You know, you could tell me it's Google Slides or Forms or WordPress, but you know, your WordPress video is going to get you different results than my WordPress video. And that's the same thing for education, right? You can be the best teacher in a bad situation and it doesn't work. You've seen fantastic teachers go in and bomb in a certain situation. So it's a hard question to answer, and it's a hard question to conceptualize, because I can't say what makes a good one and I can't say what makes a bad one. I can say that we can hopefully we can get positive results more than half the time. I think that's one of the best ways I can look at all this stuff right now with what's going on.
Mm. What would you consider one book every principal should read right now, and why?
Beyond the Hour of Code by Dr. Sam Patterson. No. Plug my friend's book. You know, there's a lot of good ones out there. A friend of mine, Shira Leibowitz, just produced a one on tech coaching. And I think every administrator needs to learn about coaching and the coaching experience, because, you know, you're putting a teacher in front of other teachers and asking them to do an administrative task, which is to mentor. Really hard. Really, really hard. If I was to give a leadership book, there's a lot of them out there. You know, what was the Ben Zander one? The Art of Possibilities?
Yes. Right? Yes.
Like, that's a good one right now. And give me a second here. I'll pull up my iBooks, because one of your former guests, Glenn Robbins, just suggested one that I was starting to read. I believe
Ego's the Enemy? Oh, Rework. Okay.
Rework. I started reading it and didn't quite get the whole way through, but that's there. And I also... Look, I'll be honest, I don't read. I will even tell you I don't know how to read, because I get in a few pages and then literally suddenly like Beethoven pops into my head. And I'm just one of those that I can't focus. If you hadn't noticed, look at TeacherCast. You know, the stuff from Guy Kawasaki is pretty awesome too. You know, I can't think of any of the books right now, but some of the Guy Kawasaki stuff is fantastic. And I've dabbled through the Tony Robbins stuff. I've dabbled through a few of those other things. But, you know, I think the only book I've actually really, really sat myself down to and read cover to cover is the Steve Jobs biography. And that was pretty cool.
It's massive, too. So when the music pops into your head, I'm surprised you were able to get through it.
Well, because music is constantly changing. And again, much like where you are in your principal desk, when you're working with an orchestra, you're in three spots. You're where you are, you're where you're going, and where you want to be. When you're reading something, you have to be on the one word. I can't ever do that. So what ends up happening is I start reading a paragraph and immediately my head starts to wonder where I'm going with it. And then I lose complete consciousness of, like, I was never good at reading comprehension. But that's why I podcast, and that's why I don't blog. So it all makes sense in the end of how TeacherCast got to being where it is as far as the audio and video stuff. It's because I don't write very well.
What do you do for fun, Jeff?
I live on an island. I moved onto an island last year, and I am on an island in the middle of a lake in North Jersey. And I wish I can say that I like walking around the island, and I wish I could say I like spending time looking outside at the lake. But I like making sure that everybody around me is happy and where they need to be. And that could be my family, and that could be my teachers, and that could be my podcasting. I mean, you and I have had some good conversations. It's not unlikely for me to get an email with, hey, I need help. And within 40 minutes, I'm on the phone with that person, and it could be a complete stranger. But I like getting to know people, and I like being able to help people. And so, you know, if anybody out there is listening is like, hey, how do I do? I like being the guy that picks up the phone. And I've kind of built a reputation on being the guy that picks up the phone at any hour of the day and helps out, no matter what time zone you're in. So for fun, I like helping people. I know that's kind of weird, but that's there. I like watching my kids grow up. They're 3 years old. Anybody who's listening and this knows a little bit about my story knows that I have 3-year-old triplets, and one of them was in the hospital for 3 years, and he came out of the hospital for the first time in November. And I love watching them smile and laugh, and I love tickling them. So there's a lot of wonderful things that we're doing up here with our kids as they are now in preschool.
If you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
If I could be automatically good at something, what would it be? Wow. I'm going to say some kind of art form. I'm a talker, but I can't draw to save my life. Mm. So I would love to do more artwork or art drawing, or at least be able to like convey my ideas on paper, but I just can't do that. And I think if I was able to do that, I could probably make a little bit, you know, like I make some good websites, but I think I could be a little bit better in that because a lot of it is just getting your head, you know, getting what's out of your head onto some other kind of medium, which is, again, essentially what websites and podcasts and all this crazy stuff that I do is.
Well, Jeff, I'm proud of you. You made it to the end of the show. I'm curious, if you're building a school from the ground up and you're not limited by budget or resources, your only limitation is your imagination, how would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
Top three priorities would be to definitely come up with some kind of well-rounded curriculum. And I don't know what that is, because right now there's so many different segments of education that I see failing. And I don't mean failing as in they're not working, but I just see them as we're not giving them enough credit. Again, you know, where are the CTE courses right now? Where are the culinary courses right now? Where are all of those types of courses? You know, the art, I love talking to Sam over in California because he's teaching his elementary kids how to sew. He's doing it through making puppets, but he's teaching those skills that most kids graduate and have no idea how to do, says the guy who can't iron a shirt. And so I think if I was to come up with any kind of concept, you know, it would definitely have to be some kind of an artistic area where I can merge the music and the technology and all of those disciplines together through, you know, I am very big on the concept of project-based learning. So I love the idea that I got from Chris Lehman over at, you know, Science Leadership Academy 1 year, where his whole kids, like the entire curriculum of the year was bring the president of X country over here, go. And that sounds simple, but the whole idea is you have to take into all the travel expenses, the security detail, the hotel, the currency exchanging, the calendar, the news, the media, the all of this stuff. And then, of course, I'd like to throw in and then build me the website and the travel itinerary and compose the song for his fanfare and like just expand the whole deal, which really comes down to the sentence, the Pope is coming over, right? Like make it happen.
Yeah.
And I love those kinds of concepts. And I think that they work. You need special teachers for that. You know, you really can't just get teachers who teach project-based learning. You got to get teachers that buy into the concept.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, these are good questions.
Thank you.
But yeah, you know, I would definitely look at everything and just see how do we make a well-rounded person. And I think maybe that's what I'm trying to do here at home times three.
That's awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any actionable steps you'd like the listeners to take as a result of listening to this show? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on teachercast.net, on Twitter at teachercast, anything, Facebook, YouTube. You always can subscribe to me at teachercast.net/Twitter/audio/video, all those things. I'm there. I'm here to help you out. It is now, always will be a place for teachers to help other teachers. And I absolutely love that. So, you know, we always say that a teacher, you know, we always say that a student learns three different ways, right? They learn visually, they learn orally, and they learn kinesthetically. And that's been exactly how I've ever taught through TeacherCast. We have audio podcasts if you like to learn. We've got video podcasts if you like to to view. And if you like to learn kinesthetically, I can come out to you and I can give PD and get you moving around, or you could read or write a blog post for us. And you can learn that way by reading. So, you know, I always think that when we're looking at things like this, we should, you know, realize that, and this is a weird one, but it's kind of my philosophy here, which is I don't believe in children and I don't believe in adults. I believe in taller or smaller humans. And like if that. You go back to the music realm, you know, when you work with a third grade through fifth grade orchestra, you're dealing with notes and you're dealing with rhythm and you're dealing with working together in a group. And when you deal with high school kids, you're dealing with notes and rhythms and working together in a group. And when you work with a professional orchestra, which I have several, you're dealing with notes and you're dealing with rhythms and you're dealing with how to work in a group. And, you know, you're a principal. What are you working on today? Well, you have a faculty meeting and you're working on notes and you're working on rhythms and you're telling your teachers how to work in a group. So for that, I always say I just believe that we're all taller or smaller people. And if you look at that, it's just one continuous thing. I would certainly hope anybody who wants to reach out certainly can. And as I sign out here, I'll say to you what I say to everybody, which is keep up the great work in your classrooms. And I hope you continue sharing your passions with your students.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Jeff. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Jeff in the search bar. And the show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better. Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across? Links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well. If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.